They were getting a divorce. Not that they were considering it and what were our thoughts as a family, but that it was decided. My older brother said he would be gone in 2 years and didn't care. My little sister, who was in elementary school, cried, and I was outwardly apathetic. Looking back, my attitude was a defense mechanism. How could I let myself truly feel the hurt of our family being destroyed, while also feeling that no one cared enough to ask what I thought or what I wanted? I held on to control where I could and selfishly chose to never spend the night at my dad's new place when he moved out. When people asked, I would say I was glad my parents were divorced, that there was now no conflict and tension in the house, that things were better. And this is how I made myself feel. Truthfully, I was glad when I came home from school and I didn't have supervision. I could play and not do homework. Instead of being watched over by two people to do the right thing, there was only my mom, who was stretched thin. Being unsupervised most of the time led to an environment where my newly formed pornography addiction was able to flourish. But God had plans. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." I had believed Jesus was the Son of God at age 4, but my understanding of that did not develop for a long time. My family was a typical cultural Christian home. When I was little, my mom took us to church, and my dad stayed home most of the time, as far as I remember. My dad experienced bad religion and not a relationship with Jesus when he was young, which turned him off to attending church altogether. We did not talk about faith or the Bible at home that I ever remember. After second or third grade, I stopped going to church. I was shy and a homebody, so I didn't like being left at Sunday school. I was also a very strong-willed child, and my parents gave up trying to get the family to church. So I never saw what faith lived out actually looked like. The summer following my parents' divorce, I ended up hanging out at the church almost every day. When my home life crumbled, I was able to find stability at church, with God, the only firm foundation. Before my parents' divorce, I did not have a relationship with my dad. I knew him, he was around, he was a good dad, but I didn't know how to have a conversation with him. Every Wednesday night, my siblings and I would go out to eat with my dad. Luckily, this was not an option. I would always allow my older brother to do the talking and then just sit and listen. But 2 years later, when my brother left for school and I was then forced to go and try and make awkward conversation with my dad and little sister, what started out awkward turned into a great relationship. I just needed to be forced to learn how to talk to my dad. At church, I was able to make very close friends, and the closest friends I made also had divorced parents. There were a lot of things we understood about each other's home lives without having to constantly explain. My senior year of high school, my church had a divorce care for teens type thing. For several weeks, we all met together with several of the adult youth group leaders who were kids of divorce and talked. It was great to be able to share what was happening in my life, to be known and to be known in a group of people, and that my experiences were normal. One of the friends I went to divorce care with in high school would become my wife 4 years later. As an encouragement for those of you who are here tonight and have children, I would like to let you know that though we may not have been resourced as sufficiently as we could have been, God used my parents' divorce, along with my wife's parents' divorce, to teach us and grow us as a married couple. We both have an understanding of how important it is not only to model our relationship with Christ in a way that honors him, but also to model our relationship with Christ to one another in a way that honors him. Because we've seen firsthand just how hard marriage is, we've been motivated and committed to prepare in every possible way, a marriage that will endure and last through any marital storms. God has been faithful to resource our marriage in a number of different ways, and for that, Ashley and I are extremely grateful. At the same time, we're both learning that our hope is not in our marriage. Our hope is in Jesus. Personally, I have seen that ultimate fulfillment does not come from a spouse, a new spouse, a portfolio, or a fat bank account. Ultimate fulfillment is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm still sad about my parents' divorce. Neither of my parents are remarried, and my dad has been dating the same woman for a long time. He mentions now and then about how he wants to, or how she wants to get married, and maybe they will at this time or at that time, and truthfully, it hurts my heart. I still want my parents to get back together. I do not want to see my dad start a new life with another family. I desire what God desires, for marriage to remain one flesh. I do not want to see my parents grow old by themselves, but I'm comforted by the fact that God cares about my mom and my dad more than I ever could. God has brought both of my parents back to church. My dad has found a passion for helping out with youth ministry, and my mom now attends another church where she is surrounded by a godly group of women who I hope encourage her to grow in her relationship with Christ. In the same way, I hope my dad helps out in youth ministry at the church out of a love for Jesus. I confess, I say that I hope because I do not know. I don't know because I haven't asked. I want to talk to my family about faith in Jesus, how he's changed the way I look at work, at money, at time, at everything. This is my weakness. I think part of it is I'm afraid to put myself out there and potentially look like a fool. A recent encouragement to me has been 1 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God." At home, I have had worldly wisdom modeled for me. I know how to fit in. I know how to talk about business. That is easy for me to do with my family. I need to learn how to talk about the things closest to my heart. What I wish my parents would have done with me will be my parting encouragement for you parents who are walking through divorce with your children. Walk through it together. Talk about what is going on with your kids. I'm sure as part of divorce care, you'll talk about what's appropriate and what's not to share with your kids, but do not be content to wait for your children to ask you questions. I didn't ask my parents about their divorce until right before I got engaged. I had plenty of questions before that time, but I did not know if it was safe to ask. Are you growing in your faith? Share those things as frequent as they happen. Do your kids not want to hear it? Then be willing to look foolish. Be willing to talk to a stone face or an eye roll. I have been that stone face. I have been that eye roll. But words sink in past a mask. You have parent pages, and I'd say ask about what your kids are learning. And some kids are good at sharing, and some like me are not. And if that is the case, then model for them what sharing emotional things looks like. Then, when they are ready to share, when it finally sinks in that it is safe to share, they will know how. And most important for last, pray for your children. One of the greatest things my mom let me know she did was that she was praying for me every day. She only told me once, and I probably didn't say anything back. But as I grew in my faith and went through other hard times, it was comforting to know that she was always praying for me. Needless to say, this is a turbulent time for your children, but God is close to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Pray that God will use this time of brokenness to become real to your children, that they would put their hope and security solely in Jesus. And like Peter in John 6:68, they would say to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Pray that God will use our broken families to shake us out of spiritual apathy and show us our desperate need for him. This is my third year as a Dealing with Divorce for Teens leader. And I want the students in our group to share their stories, to be known, and to be felt known, to feel cared for and loved, to have their feelings validated, their hurts understood, to see that God is a loving Father who speaks to us personally through his word. That when storms rage in our lives, he is our rock, our firm foundation. I want them desperately to understand that in Christ they can have a new life, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And not just that they can have a new life, but a life where they're loved richly by God and by the people of God. A life where they know that all things will work together. Thank you very much for letting me share.